did y'all think last week of Jim? Guys, I just feel led to say this. His ceiling is your floor.
Yeah.
Okay? If Jim can do work in the anointing of the prophetic like that, so can you. And part of it is just the impartation of faith. When you see someone like Jim, what you look at him and say, he's just an ordinary guy. And can move in that prophetic anointing like that, so can you. We are a prophetic generation, a prophetic people. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out on. We are a generation of dreams and visions. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's you. I want to talk this week about how to receive prophetic words. You know, the prophetic has probably been abused more than any gift, any other gift in the body of Christ. That's why churches have shut down the prophetic time and time again. It's easy to abuse prophetic. It's also easy to misinterpret the prophetic on the receiving end. So when you get a word, whether it's false or true, what is your responsibilities? How do you handle that? What do you do? That's what we want to discuss about tonight. There's three different types, categories of words, prophetic words you will receive. Biblical words. Biblical words are like straight out of the Bible. Like, you know, God's calling you to go into the world and preach the gospel. Straight out of the Bible, right? And that can be a true, specific word for you. Extra-biblical. Much of personal prophetic ministry is extra-biblical. You cannot specifically find it in the Bible. It's like, God is calling you to go to Africa and preach the gospel. What do you do with something like that? You know, how do you act on it? How do you process that? And then there's anti-biblical, which comes straight from hell. Demonic influence, such as, God is calling you to divorce your spouse and go to Africa and preach the gospel. Definitely not God. Definitely from a wrong spirit. So those are the three categories of words that you will receive. Biblical is easy to spot. Anti-biblical is easy to spot. Extra-biblical is what we struggle with and deal with and how to process that. On how to judge prophetic words. The Bible tells us that we are to judge and test words. Because we want to hear rightly what the Lord's saying. We want to move in step. We want to move in timing of the Lord. So it's important to judge it. First one is don't stifle or despise prophecy, but test it. There's been times in my life where I've said, I don't want anyone to prophesy over me again. Right? Has anyone else been there?
Yeah.
Because you get so many words, nothing's coming true, and you know, you start to wonder what this is all about. And but the Bible says, don't stifle it. Don't stop it. Okay? Always seek the Lord's guidance through prayer, meditation, when you receive a word. We thank you, Father, that you're speaking to us through your word. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are pouring out dreams and visions in these days. And God, we are, thank you, we are a prophetic people and a prophetic generation. In Jesus' name. Whenever you receive a prophetic word, what do you do with it at that point? The key is, what is your responsibility? I have heard so many times, well, you put it on the shelf and wait for it to come to pass. That's not scriptural. It sounds good. It'll excuse our own spiritual laziness. But it's not scriptural. The Bible talks about ask, seeking, and knocking, about contending, and about birthing. We have a part that we play. The reason many of your prophetic words have not come true is probably because you have not birthed them yet. God calls us to birth words. The interpretation and the application belongs to the Holy Spirit. It's easy to get a word. You could say, the Lord's saying to you, go to Africa and preach the gospel. Right? The key is what is the timing on that? As an immature Christian, we may want to say, well, that was given from Bob Jones, experienced prophet. So if he said it, it must be true. And I'm going to go out and do it right now. I'm going to go buy the plane ticket to Africa. But there's timing. And many words can take years to come past. I have words that the Lord's spoken to me. I have tried to make them happen. And it's like I run up. It's just like nothing works. It's like this wall. And I have to back off. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry that I jumped ahead of your timing. David was anointed king when he was a shepherd boy. Samuel took the oil, the prophet of the land, took the oil, poured it on David, and said, you're king of Israel. He's tending sheep. You're king of Israel. There is a king up there now. It took time and training for the word to be, for that seed of the word to come in, for it to actually be birthed. Sometimes you have to see the vision so you prepare yourself for it. If the prophet says there's rain coming and you're in a land of drought, get the buckets out. Prepare for the word to come to pass. Right? Well, if you ever receive a word, it must line up with the teachings and principles of Scripture or the heart of the Father. If it's an extra-biblical word, it needs to line up with the heart of the Scripture, the heart of the Father. It should bear witness with the spirit of the one who receives it, or you'll get a check in your spirit. If you get a check in your spirit, don't force it, stop. We have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And this inner witness is there to protect us. And if we would just take time, if we would learn to hold on and wait for Him, Holy Spirit, I have this word. What should I do about it? I'm getting stirred up about it. Holy Spirit, what should I do? And just wait for that inner witness of when to move. The fruit of any word should be that it brings you closer to God. An easy way to tell if a word's true is, we always talked about, journal your prophetic words. I used to have all of my prophetic words on a tape. I remember one day I got so discouraged, I said, not one of these stupid words are coming to pass. So I went up and threw all my tapes away. Oh, I wish I had them back. Right? We don't stifle prophecy. We don't despise it. I didn't know how to birth it either. I didn't know how to birth it. If you keep account of your words, you journal them or keep the recordings or something, you'll see a pattern. And when someone gives you a word, does it fit into the pattern of what the Lord's been speaking to you? It's a good way to do it. A word should never produce alarm, fear, discomfort. If you're troubled by that word, seek help, seek counsel, talk to someone about it. Talk to your pastor about it. Talk to a spiritual mentor about it. Talk to a friend about it. Okay? It's important. The word should always edify and build up. I want you to remember, we prophesy in part. Don't be presumptuous of trying to misinterpret a word. Sometimes you need to wait to get the whole part of the word. Do not act upon any predictive, directive words unless you have confirmation from other sources. If someone says, you're supposed to go to Africa to preach the gospel, that's a directive word. That's the only time you've ever heard of. This is not the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're under a new covenant, guys. And if you get that type of word that's directive, get confirmation. Either it in your spirit, I would take it to people I trust and says, guys, I got this word about I'm supposed to do this, and I'm feeling good about it, though. You know, I just want to bring it to y'all. Y'all pray. What do you think about it? That's good. Good counsel on those type of words, guys. Beware of any corrective, judgmental, or condemning prophecy. Remember, prophecy is to edify and build up. Sometimes the Lord will give you a word of correction. But a mature prophet will deliver that word in an edifying way.
That's right.
We don't prophesy problems, we prophesy answers. We don't prophesy darkness, we prophesy light. If someone's prophesying darkness to you, and it's condemning, either number one, it's wrong, or number two, they're immature. So, beware of those type of words. If any prophecies bring fear of or confusion, pray and break off the effects of those words over you. Someone can prophesy over you. There is power in prophetic words. There is life and death in the tongue. Someone can prophesy a word that can open up heaven over your life. And correspondingly, someone can prophesy a word that can open up times of trouble over your life.
That's right. That's true.
Words have power. If someone prophesies a judgmental or condemning word, it brings fear and confusion. Get with someone and break it off. Break the power of it off. You've got the power and the anointing within you to do that. Prophetic words usually bring confirmation, clarification, but not always. A word of knowledge is a fact about a situation you're going through now. Pure prophecy is in the future. Sometimes a prophetic word will be something that you haven't even thought of yet. And God is planting the seed. Judge in the interpretation. It is easy to misjudge a prophetic word or miss the timing or meaning of the prophecy. This is where we need wisdom. If a prophetic word ever directly contradicts Scripture, throw it out. But I want to let you know it may contradict your understanding of Scripture.
Good.
And wisdom is knowing the difference.
Good.
Peter had a vision in Acts 10, 9 through 14. And he said he went up to the housetop, 6 hours to pray, became hungry, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open, a great sheet come down. There were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling, icky creatures and birds of the air. And he heard the voice of the Lord, the prophetic word saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now, being a good law-abiding Jew, he's not supposed to eat any of this stuff. It's not kosher. So Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." What happened here? God's not talking about Peter's next meal. God wants to change the direction of the church. So the gospel is preached to the Gentiles. And he's using this prophetic illustration as an example. Peter didn't get it. Peter misinterpreted the prophetic word. Finally, he says, "God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean." Which means, guys, we've got to start preaching this word on to the Gentiles. But Peter missed it. at first. You can easily misinterpret a prophetic word. People that you can confide in, that you can give your words. It's good to have 2 to 3 people, prophetic people. I try to find people who are more prophetic, more experienced than me, that I kind of nosy up to, that I can say, you know, I'm thinking the Lord's speaking to me about this. What do you think about it? That confirmation, guys, is so good. There's wisdom in the council of 2 or 3 people. There's much wisdom in that. And I pray, I've made those mistakes of jumping off early, being ahead of the Lord. I got that T-shirt. It's no fun. You tend to stick out your foot and it gets whacked. All I'm saying is you can get a word and you can misjudge that word. Seek the presence of, seek the Holy Spirit, seek His counsel. There's an inner witness inside of you that will confirm if you would stop and wait and listen. God has put people in your life that you can call and talk to them about. Use the resources. Life is too short to keep going down the wrong paths and rabbit trails. We want to be like, we have a scope on our rifle that we hit it every time. That's what I desire, want my life to be. And that's what I want your life to be. Amen? Okay. What do you do when you get an inaccurate word? You know, how do you deal with that? I had myself and my wife, Steph, we have been around prophetic ministry now probably for 14 years or 15 years. And I've seen a lot of stuff. A lot of crazy stuff. Completely, some's false. It's usually, from what I've seen, is people giving prophecy out of a hurt and wounded heart. Trying to promote themselves, whereas they sometimes missed it. Remember when I told you that there's life and death in the tongue? An inaccurate word can open a door if you receive it. You have the ability in the Spirit to open that door to any influence. What I'm trying to do this service in this time is to teach you to only open to the doors that the Lord wants you to open the doors to. Paul had to say, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good.
Yes.
He felt so compelled to say that because there were some people wanting to quench the Spirit. People who despise prophetic utterances. It's easy, if you've had a bad experience in the prophetic, to want to shut it down in your life. Sometimes people will prophesy in the flesh. Sometimes pastors will preach a sermon that's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. So should you not listen to any more sermons? No. Don't despise prophecy. I believe God is bringing us here as a prophetic community to give integrity to the prophetic.
Yes.
To set a standard of integrity. And where we can teach people to walk in integrity in the prophetic. I just believe that's important. The fear of false prophets has quenched the spirit of prophecy in a lot of the world. Pastors, some of them blow into a church, stir it up in the prophetic, and the pastors want to quench it. And they want to shut it down, so you don't want that problem again. You know, we always say this is a safe place. You can make mistakes here, guys. It's okay. We are all being trained. We're all a work in process. You can make a mistake without being a false prophet.
Yeah, good word.
And I just want to talk about the difference here some. Even the apostles and prophets in the Bible messed up at times. Okay? In Acts 21:10, talks about Agabus. He prophesied to Paul. And I was sitting there thinking about this scene this afternoon. Agabus was probably a friend of Paul's. I mean, he probably loved Paul. Here's the Apostle Paul, this teacher, you know, had this encounter with the Lord. The church is under persecution. You don't want to lose anyone else. And Agabus probably had, I believe, a correct word of the Lord, a correct vision that Paul was going to be bound up, taken to Jerusalem and killed. I believe Agabus had that. Sometimes our personal doctrines or our personal desires can influence prophetic words, and it can make it wrong. It can make part of it right and part of it wrong. It said Agabus came down from Judea, and he basically prophesied to Paul. He took off Paul's belt, and he bound his feet and hands, saying, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem, will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." If you go on down to Acts 21, 31, 33, what actually happened was the Jews were beating up Paul. The Roman soldiers came to save him. He still ended up in Jerusalem. The end result was the same, but it didn't happen exactly as Agabus prophesied. Does that make Agabus a false prophet? No. He just didn't get it all correct. Even the most experienced prophets will miss it at times. In Acts 27:9, Paul was getting on a ship. And he gave a prophecy, and he says, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo of the ship, but also of our lives." Paul prophesied they would all die. What happened? The storm came, the ship sunk, the cargo was lost, but the guys didn't die. Does that make Paul, the Apostle Paul, a false prophet? No. When you receive those negative type words, we talked about this before. Moses received a negative word concerning the sin of the people, Israel. And the Lord told Moses, "I'm going to wipe them all out." That is the word of the Lord. Moses prayed for 40 days and changed it. Hezekiah, he received the word of the Lord that he was going to die. From Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Said, and Isaiah the prophet came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." The prayers of a righteous man and woman availeth much, guys. Because he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. On and on, Isaiah wept bitterly. He interceded. We're talking about intercession here. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah and says, "Go back and tell him I just gave him 15 more years." I have received, I've made the mistake in the past personally, of when I've got negative word. They weren't as much negative, they warned me something was going to happen. I was warned one time by the Lord that I was going to have an accident. You were warned about the accident one time. Those are warning words. There is a responsibility that we have on our part. We don't have to accept it. Hezekiah was told his life was going to end. He went into intercession and changed it. Sometimes a prophetic word will not come true, not because it was wrong, because someone changed the mind of God. That's powerful that we can do that, isn't it? We can change the mind of God. Think about how much He loves you and the authority He's given to you, that you have the ability to do that. Words of warning words are meant to warn, not just to accept the inevitable circumstance, but to intercede and to pray. How many words has this nation received about the doom and the downfall of the United States? I believe the intercession of the intercessors that are praying in this country have stayed that off. I really do. And just as you can save a nation, you can save a member of your family. And you can change your own destiny, guys. False prophets. Let's talk about false prophets for a second. The Bible warns about false prophets many times. Jesus warned about false prophets, especially in these last days. We see false prophets on TV, don't we? A false prophet can prophesy accurately from a demonic spirit. And we have that part of Acts 16:16-18, and Paul, he's kind of going wherever he's going. There's a fortune teller behind him. She's prophesying accurately. He is a servant of the Most High. And he proclaims to you the way of salvation. And she says it. I mean, that's a correct prophecy, right? She's accurate. But it's coming from a demonic spirit. Paul turned around and cast it out. That proves that it was a demonic spirit, a spirit from hell, that she was prophesying from. There's two different types of false prophets. One is ones that are completely given over to the demonic realm. Call these like the New Age, fortune tellers, things like that. Other ones can be people who are within the church and have backslid and have a wounded heart and a wounded spirit, and they prophesy from that wounded heart and wounded spirit. But the Bible says the gifts are without repentance. I remember just thinking about William Branham in the 1950s. Incredible healing prophetic evangelist. Incredible prophetic word. And it was Branham who started coming out towards the end of his ministry saying that he was Elijah. He was a reincarnation of Elijah. And he was killed in an auto accident. Went through the windshield of his car. And many Christian leaders think that the Lord spared his salvation and taking him out at that point. But he moved in a powerful gift during his ministry. Powerful. People can prophesy accurately from a demonic spirit because demons see and hear. Demons can operate person. And I have never seen a New Age type prophet prophesy in pure prophecy.
Yeah.
I've seen them prophesy in words of knowledge. They can read your mail because the demons can see, but I don't believe demons can see into the future. If they could, I do not believe they would have let Jesus die on the cross.
That's good
words.
Big mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So if the demons could see into the future, they would have not let that happen. The anointing upon us is greater than them, right? Okay, those false prophets, like the woman that was following Paul, characteristics of these false prophets, they operate from a spirit of divination. They knowingly deceive people. They knowingly use signs and wonders to deceive people. And they usually do it with a Jezebel-type spirit through flattery, seduction and manipulation. The other type of false prophet that we talked about is that people that usually begin right, got off the path. Remember I said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. These people usually have, it's usually issues of the heart. They have a wounded heart. They've lost accountability to the scriptures, place themselves above the word of God. Their heart is usually closed to new revelation, and they're unwilling to allow people to test their prophecy. They think they got it all. They seek to promote themselves and their own agendas. They prophesy from personal gain, whether it's wealth or influence. They prophesy what people want to hear to gain that influence. They draw people to themselves instead of drawing them to Jesus. Correct prophecy will always draw people to the Lord. The Word of God says we will know them by their fruit. The best way to spot a counterfeit is to know the original, is to know the true. A true prophetic person walking in the Spirit will exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They will demonstrate the character of the Holy Spirit. That's what you watch for. Now, these are something that I have not ever seen in any other prophetic book material. What I'm getting ready to get into is what I really feel the Lord revealed to me. Is the prophetic word comes as a seed. And if you go into Matthew 13 through 18, it talks about the types of seeds. The seeds that get thrown along the road. Anyone who hears the word and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whose seed was sown beside the road. Speaks to us when we don't take the proper time to receive the word, to meditate on the word, and to test the word for understanding. Seeds that sown on rocky places. Whenever the enemy releases kingdom seed in you, destiny seed in you, do not you think that the enemy will try to counterattack and steal that seed. Sometimes we believe that the fight is not worth the promise. We go, this is too hard, I'm just going to quit. And the enemy will win that battle. The ones that are rocky places is that when we allow the attacks of the enemy, sometimes when you get a prophetic word, life seems like it's the exact opposite. Because all hell is coming against you to destroy that seed. Mm-hmm. The word of God came through Moses, and they killed the babies, the seed. Jesus was born. The word was born. They killed the babies again. Hell was unleashed to kill the seed. It's the tactic of the enemy. We are in spiritual warfare, if we want to acknowledge it or not. Yeah. We're either a victim of it, or we are a target of it. I'd rather be a target than a victim. The battle is raging whether you want to acknowledge or participate in it or not. Thank you, Lord. Seeds that are sown among the thorns speak of when we allow the temptations and the worry of the world to choke it out. Good soil is when God's plans and purposes come about, and the seed is allowed to grow in our lives. The prophetic word can be very powerful, guys. It can release destiny. There's times that when the prophetic word is released, the anointing is released to accomplish that word. There are times when you receive that word that if you truly receive it, you're also receiving the power of God to bring it forth. If you want to walk in more anointing, value His word. More of His presence, value His word. We should never be so busy that we're constantly putting these words upon the shelf. I want to talk about how you birth prophetic seeds in your glory. This came from one time when the Lord spoke a word to me about the specific promise in my life. And He spoke this promise to me. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. Didn't know what to do with it. It was out of left field. Completely left field. But God had a plan and a purpose. So 6, 8, 9 months pass, something like that. And I'm in prayer, and I said, Lord, what about that word? I mean, when He spoke it to me, it was like audibly. It stopped me in my... I was stunned. It was so loud. One of those God-ordained times. And then nothing happened for months. Just about 8 or 9 months later, I was praying. I said, Lord, what about that word? You spoke to me so powerfully several months ago. What are you going to do to, you know, Lord, what about this word? And he said, well, Mike, you haven't done anything on your part to bring it forth. I said, wow, I didn't know I was supposed to. I thought you just waited upon the Lord. Put it on the shelf. I had no understanding, no revelation how to birth the promises of God in my life. The Lord took me to a Genesis. And Genesis 1, it talked about how the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. The Spirit of the Lord, in the Hebrew there, is the very essence of God. It's everything. It's who He is. It is His presence. It is His glory hovering. The glory of God is hovering over that water. And then the Father spoke. It says, the Father said, and God said, let there be light. Creation happened. The Holy Spirit took me to that spot, and He says, the two ingredients, the two powerful forces that were present at creation was His presence and His glory and His Word. And when you bring the two together, there is a creative power that is released. The glory and the Word. The glory and the Word. So the Lord told me, He said, I want you to worship until My presence comes, until My glory fills the room that you're at. And then when that happens, prophesy the word I gave you. Prophesy it into the glory.
That's good.
So I just started doing that. And I would do it again and again. And for like 3 months I did it. Prophesying this word into the glory. I would say, I prophesy that such and such and such is going to happen in Jesus' name. And I would just wait until the presence of God came. That weighty kabod presence comes into the room, and then I'll start prophesying.
Praise God.
It was the glory of God and His Word I was bringing together. I did it for like 3 months. Nothing happened. Then I stopped for a while. And I said, well, Lord, what about that word? He says, I never told you to stop. So I went back to it. It took about 9 months.
Wow.
Ladies, 9 months.
Birth.
9 months to birth that. Prayer of faith, it says, it talks about in James, will save the sick, right? What is a prayer of faith? It's a prayer that doesn't stop until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith that I'm going to stand here in this place and pray until this promise comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prayer of faith.
Good word.
That thing came to pass in my life. That was out of left field. And I've been blessed, this church be blessed because of it. I don't want to get into the details of it. But it was His Word and His presence. The same two powerful forces that were in Genesis 1 during creation is made available to you to birth your prophetic promises. There's timing in everything. But I just encourage you to find that secret place and get in there and just begin to worship until His presence falls. You know He's there. You keep at it. You just keep at it until His presence comes and say, Lord, can I prophesy it now? And then you'll get that witness. And then start prophesying your promises that God has spoke to your heart, whether it's directly from the Holy Spirit or from other people that came in a prophetic word, but something that you have the inner witness of. Lord, can I do it now? And He'll go, yeah, do it now. And you keep at it, and that word will come to pass. That's how you make prophetic words come to pass in your life.
That's good.
If you have a word, go to Africa and preach the gospel, to make that come to pass, don't run out and buy the airline ticket. Get into the glory and birth it, and yes, God will open the door. God will open the door. Someone will come along, put the ticket in your hand. Mm-hmm. Someone will ask you, but that door will be open, because what's loosed in heaven will be loosed upon this earth.
Whoa.
And that's what you're doing. You're going up and you're loosing that thing up in the heavenly realms. And then it happens upon the earth. Guys, as a church, we have got to learn how to birth our promises. I don't want this generation to die with their prophetic promises unfulfilled. We need to learn to walk in what God has laid up for each of us. And we have the ability. God has given us every tool to birth those promises in our life. So go back into your prophetic journals, into your notes. I encourage you to get a journal. This is your homework tonight or this week. Get a journal if you don't have one. And you start writing down those words that you've been carrying. And then go in and start to worship and birth this stuff. Hmm. Come on, is there any midwives in here that know how to birth? Come on, guys. Come on. This is how you do it. This is how, if you want to walk in kingdom authority and kingdom power, birth it in the Spirit.
Yes.
This is powerful.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, come. Whoa. Or Holy Spirit, we worship. Let your presence come. Let your presence fall in this place. Wow. Lord, let your Kabod glory rest upon every person in here. Oh. Let your weighty presence come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. More. More. Lord, breathe his presence. Filled you from the inside out. Now right now, prophesy. Your prophetic promise. Prophesy. Sure. I prophesy that this will happen. As you learn to birth things in the Spirit, you will not run ahead of the Lord. Because then you will be allowing Him to open doors that no man can open. And you are allowing Him to shut doors that no man can shut. Lord, we seal these prophetic promises. And God, we determine that we will pray the prayer of faith. And we will continue, God, until we see the manifestation of this promise. I encourage you every day to get into His presence. When the presence of God comes in the service, I prophesy the names of unsaved loved ones. I say, you will be saved in Jesus' name.
Thank you.